Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Who all enjoyed the warm day yesterday? Awesome. Hey, that's what we're hoping for Easter Sunday, which is April 20th. We're going to be beginning with a family breakfast time at 8:30 in the morning. There's going to be an egg hunt following that at 9:45. And then we're going to meet back in here for our Sunday morning worship on Resurrection Sunday at 10:30 a.m. So it's going to be a great time. We still do have signups out there for if you want to help bring something for the breakfast. We have an egg casserole signup out there. So feel free to check that out. Sign up and bring your very best egg casserole. I'm looking forward to it, right? We're also still collecting some Easter candy that we can put in eggs. So underneath the staircase there's a table out there in the lobby that you can put some donations for Easter candy as well. But we look forward to April 20th for Easter. The Ladies' Spring Luncheon is going to be taking place on Saturday, April 26th at 11 a.m. in the church multipurpose room. And that'll be here very quickly. Enjoy great food and fellowship while hearing from God's word. There's a lot of different table signups out there. If you go out the doors here and take a right, on those countertops, you'll see a whole bunch of clipboards. You can sign up for all the different tables. You can see which tables they have there, and you can choose which one you want to sign up for. So don't forget to get out there and sign up today. We're going to be having a child dedication on Mother's Day, May 11th. So if you'd like your child to be dedicated to the Lord, please reach out to Pastor Glenn. Hey, we have a lot of areas that we have a lot of people helping. We also have some areas that we still need some help, right? So please consider volunteering for some of the areas that we still need help in. We have the community cafe that does the coffee. That's how you're able to have some energy for this morning, right? You can be a part of helping with that. Sound tech and production team, they're the ones that make sure everything, that you can hear me right now, that you can see what's on the screen as well. So we have all these different things. I think that there's even some opportunities in the children's department as well. So we have all these areas that we do still need some help, but we do thank everyone that already is plugged in and is helping because we have so many helpers that really make this come together. Hey, one more thing here, maybe two. The Capital Area Pregnancy Center Shot at Life will take place on May 3rd. Central Penn Sporting Clays in Wellsville. There's opportunities for participants as well as sponsorship for this event. So you guys can check out more information and details with the QR code on the screen. We also have flyers with that same code out there as well. Hey, one more thing. If this is your first time coming and visiting with us, we do have a gift for you out there in the lobby. That same countertop I described earlier, there will be a white gift bag on there with a gift for you as well as a little piece of paper. It's the Connect card that you can fill out and hand in the office. That helps us to get to know you guys a little bit better and get connected. So we look forward to hearing from you if you are new and getting to know you better. Hey, real quick, I'm going to direct our attentions to the screen. We have a promo video for our grandparent seminar that's coming up.
You know, it happened rather suddenly. I woke up one morning, I was a grandparent, and my wife was missing. Come to find out, she was about 800 miles away in a little town in Maine. She intentionally went there, leaving me at home to fend for myself while she basked in holding and rocking and smiling to and talking with our first grandchild. So over the next 2 weeks, as our house slowly became a disaster area, I decided I needed to do something about the situation. It was apparent that she wasn't coming home anytime soon. So at 3 a.m. on a Friday of what was a four-day weekend for me, I set off on my motorcycle to see this spectacle for myself. And that was the beginning of our grandparenting.
Hi, I'm Sherry. Last fall, Pastor Glenn announced that there was going to be a grandparenting seminar at a church in Dillsburg, and I was very curious. I've heard of marriage seminars and financial seminars, but never a grandparent seminar, so I thought, I need to go, and so does Tim. Anyway, Tim and I have been a grandparent for over 15 years, and as all you grandparents know, it is wonderful, but it comes with some challenges. Our challenge is distance. So physical distance, we have a granddaughter who lives in Maine, and then we have two grandchildren who live with us. And then we have distance of ages. Our oldest granddaughter is almost 16, and our two youngest is just over 2 and 3 months old. And also we have distance of beliefs. None of our adult children have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but I cling to the verse, Luke 1:37, where Gabriel talks to Mary and says, "For there's nothing impossible with God." The seminar that I attended was wonderful and very encouraging, and so I encourage you grandparents to join the seminar that this church will present in the near future. Thank you.
These little guys right here are why my wife Diane and I moved halfway across the country. God began to impress on us several years ago how important it was that we be involved in their lives as additional spiritual influences. God really talks about that relationship in Scripture. We are to be involved in not just teaching our kids about the Word of God, but we're also to be teaching grandkids. And Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Teach your children and your children's children."
Behind parents, grandparents are the most influential people in the lives of children and youth. And so we want to help leverage that for the kingdom. We are dedicated to providing resources and training for grandparents and also for church leaders who want to help grandparents in their local churches.
Ray Hens is going to share an update with us this morning.
Good morning, community family. I know some of you have reached out to Catherine and I. If you've not heard, there was a 7.7 magnitude earthquake in Myanmar just a couple days ago, and so that was felt all the way down into Thailand where we have the Collins family. So I just wanted to report that the Collins are doing well. So continue to pray for them. They're safe. All our Thailand team is safe. All national partners that we have with ABW are safe. But just continue to pray. There are aftershocks. So that's to be expected after an earthquake like that. So just ask for safety. But also just do pray for our team there too in the Collins as they want to hope and see some gospel conversations come of this and to some of their Thai friends that are not believers. So just be praying for that as well. But we'll continue to keep you updated as we hear things. But yeah, just asking that you pray just for the situation over there right now. With that, I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer here for today's service. So let's pray. Father, I just come before you. Just for all those affected right now overseas with that earthquake, Lord, in Myanmar, Thailand, Lord, just the devastation. And Lord, let it be that opportunity to just for people to seek you, Lord. And that's where our hope is at. And so, Father, I just pray for all the believers over there, nationals, our missionaries, other organizations, that can just be a light and just shine brightly through this darkness and devastation that's caused by the earthquake, Lord. And so we just put that in your hands. Just thank you, Lord, for keeping Ben and Susie and the team safe, Lord. We just thank you for that and praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask you to continue to keep everyone safe with the aftershocks, Lord. And Father, we just ask, just come before you today too, Lord, just to prepare our hearts as we come into worship. Lord, just let us be focused on you and cast aside all distractions and just be focused on what your worship has for us today and just even the word that Pastor Glenn's going to bring, Lord. So we just ask that you work on us, help us grow and seek you in this time in a service of mourning. And Lord, we just lift these things up to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And
how firm a foundation is hands of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellence.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here worshiping with you today. It's always great to have such amazing people on the team. And if you would like to join us, that's another place where we are always looking for more volunteers. If you play an instrument, if you like to sing, please come and talk to me after the service. I would love to get you involved.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, he wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way.
Jesus way, I Jesus way.
I follow Jesus.
He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great. Our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
You're the name above all names.
Name above all names, worthy of
alone are worthy of the praise that we give to you this morning. We worship you, we adore you, we love you, and we thank you for your love, Father, that you loved us first. We thank you that that love and that that fellowship brings us here today to worship together and get a little glimpse of what it will be like someday in heaven when we can join with believers who have gone before us and believers yet to come to worship you, to praise your name forever. Lord, prepare our hearts for this message this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, how's that? Man, all I had to do was push a button. Just push a button. You know, you got to push the right button, though, right? You probably had some buttons pushed that weren't so good maybe sometimes. I know I have, yeah. All right, all right. Well, that's enough of that. All right. Hey, we got this week and next week finishing up Philippians. Can't believe we're getting through that. You know, it just seemed like I just started. I don't know. It's a short book, I know that, but still, time goes quickly. Yeah, what I'm planning to do, just so you know what's coming, we'll finish up this series next week, and then the following Sunday is Palm Sunday, so we'll have a message related to that. And then the following Sunday is Easter, and we'll have a message related to Easter. And then the following Sunday, I'm going to actually do a second Easter message. We're going to be with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And then the following Sunday is graduation honoring Sunday. You're saying, Pastor, this is, I can't keep up with all this, right? No, I can't either. Okay, so, but anyway, I'll be having a message related to graduates. And then the following Sunday is Mother's Day. Don't forget, get your cards, you know, whatever you got to do, all right? And we'll be having a baby dedication, child dedication. And I'll be having a message related to that. And then I'll start another series. And I'm going to do a series on the Lord's Prayer. So that's where we're headed, okay? So keep coming, all right? Glad to see you all here today. Hey, this week we had the privilege of going out to dinner with some friends from the church we served in Canton, Ohio, back in the 80s and 90s, all right? Some of you might remember those days, okay? And hey, you know, I don't know about you, sometimes it is so sweet to rekindle friendships, especially when God has done some amazing things. And that's what this was all about. God had connected us with this couple at a very key time in their lives, and basically we were allowed to be a part of seeing their marriage restored. They were on the way out. But the Lord did something amazing there, and we had really developed quite a friendship with our families, and it was delightful to hear them talk at our meeting about what God's been doing ever since, and about their kids who are now grown and married, and they have grandkids, and but we also met their current children, who are adopted. They, after all things got settled and all, they began to be foster parents, and they actually have worked with lots of children, and this two kids that were there, they adopted, and these kids came from really a very dangerous family situation, and God rescued them with this family taking them in, and it just was beautiful to watch. And we were so blessed by seeing their love for each other, their family, and their love for us. You know, that's a wonderful thing. It brought joy to our hearts. And it was a taste, I think, of what I feel and hear Paul writing to the believers in Philippi. You know, he wrote to them at the beginning of the letter, if you remember back at that he prayed for them with joy, and that they have a special place in his heart. Yeah, sharing together, he says, the special favor of God. And he said this, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. We've talked a lot during this series about the joy of caring for each other, about the joy that is ours in Christ, about the joy that we realize even as we share life together in Christ, and how special that is. It's God's plan. And this theme comes around again in today's passage as Paul's wrapping up this letter. And we'll see here, and we're encouraged with the joy of being loved. So we're in chapter 4 and in verses 10 to 17 today. And we see here that Paul will reflect on the love of the Philippian believers as such an important part of his continued ministry. The concern that was shown for him by his friends in Philippi, he says, causes him to praise the Lord. And even though he has grown through his suffering and he's been strengthened by Christ, he's also been greatly helped by the gifts of love by the church. So let's read this passage, Philippians 4, 10 to 17. It'll be on the screen. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Paul has continued throughout this letter intentionally speaking to the Philippian church about the dynamics and the spiritual growth that has happened in them and in him as a result of their relationship with each other. Certainly, it all starts with a relationship with Christ. That has to be the basis of everything. You know, if we know Christ, of course, he's the one that makes it possible for us not only to have our sins forgiven and also have a relationship with God himself, but to have relationships with other believers that are defined not by our culture or our personality or our life circumstances, but by the oneness and brotherhood and sisterhood that we have in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. Not always easy. I mean, we still have our human parts that show up, but it's still there, and it's something that we can enjoy, and God wants us to enjoy. God wants us to live in that truth. I mean, Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that we would be one as the Father and he are one. I mean, why did he pray that? That's God's plan, that we would enjoy that beautiful relationship that helps us to know the Lord more, helps us to grow in him as well, and helps us to show the world the changes that Jesus brings. Paul begins this section. He says he praises the Lord as he experiences the care he's received from the believers in Philippi. If you remember back, Paul has mentioned that they had sent Epaphras, a part of the Philippian church, to be with Paul in prison in Rome and to bring him gifts, to bring him, I mean, we don't know what those gifts were, but whatever they were things he needed, all right? Food, maybe, I don't know, clothing, all kind of things that Paul would have needed in prison, and they sent these gifts and money probably as well. His statement that they are concerned for him again, when I first read this, and maybe you caught that too, it almost sounds like they had forgotten him, okay? But he quickly states right away that he knows they have always been concerned. Okay, he doesn't want them to think, oh, well, man, Paul's saying, about time you got me something here. It's been terrible. No, I mean, he's not that way at all. He's saying, this has been really special and refreshing to hear from you and to receive these gifts. And it's been extremely special. And again, you've shown yourself. But I want you to know, I know you've always been concerned. You just haven't been able to share the way you are right now. We don't know why they weren't able. It could have been the political situation. It could have been the distance, of course. I mean, Epaphras had to travel for a ways to get there. Could have been a lot of things. But there was a time where Paul was pretty much alone without their connection, and even though they were concerned for him, he wasn't feeling it the same way, obviously, as he did when he experienced their care that was sent through Epaphras. He knows they would have helped more, but these obstacles made it not possible. So now receiving this love from them causes him to praise God. You know, God uses the loving care of others in our lives to cause us to praise him. I hope you've experienced that. Yeah, I mean, the other day when we were with this couple, all right, and we were seeing how God had worked, and we heard them reinforce with us that relationship. I mean, certainly we were thankful to them for their sharing, and we were thankful to them for what God has been doing in their lives and their love for us, but we praised God because we know he's the source of these things, right? And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe the more we grow close to the Lord and to each other, that's where our automatic response is. I mean, I find myself often saying, praise the Lord. You know, not just because it's a knee-jerk thing, but because it's from my heart. You know, God, you've done something here. You received the glory, right? You know, how I praise you, God, Paul says, how I praise the Lord, I mean, that you are concerned about me again, he says. I'm giving God the praise. And it's such a wonderful thing. And sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we don't know that happens. Sometimes it's very private in our hearts, but it's still true. When somebody cares, and it's been God at work making it happen, you know, and we recognize, of course, everything that's good. All good gifts come from him, right? That's what he says in his word. And so we give him the praise. What a wonderful thing. Yeah. When we give our good gifts that God gives to us to share with others, wow, we are pleasing God. And even in our giving, we're giving him praise. We may have a deep love for someone, but they experience it when there is something done that demonstrates that love. Just saying we love, just maybe feeling we love, could be a good start, but it really isn't the same as showing that we love. We all know that in our experiences. John writes about that in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 3. We read this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." John says this, "We know that real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters." We all know that's true, even though all the songs of the day seem to talk about love just kind of being a warm feeling and hanging in there. And, of course, if a marriage has been based on that, it only lasts 18 months or less. I mean, that's the record. But anyway, yeah, we don't want that. But, you know, love is more than that. True love is shown by action, by sacrificially giving to another, giving time, giving care, giving money. John gives an illustration of this as he continues in 1 John, verse 7, chapter 3. He says, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" I'm sorry, it was 3:17, not 3:7. Okay. God is pleased when we reach out with care, and he is praised as well. And we are blessed as we bless him and others. And Jesus said, remember this, that whatever we do for the least, we do for him. It's an amazing thing. It's hard to see it. It's a spiritual thing, right? It's beyond our comprehension completely, but we do experience it as we participate in this way, right? When you reach out to others in love, when you care for their needs, you're blessed, all right? When they receive that, they're blessed, and God is praised in both situations. It's a wonderful truth that the Lord has put together in his love. Now, Paul also shows us in this passage that he is not or expecting or demanding a gift. It's interesting. It almost seems like, as you read this first, unless you put all the context together, it could almost seem like Paul's saying, hey, I got your gift. I really thank you for it, but you know, I really didn't need it. That sounds weird. It's not what he's saying, by the way. Okay, it could seem that way, but he's not saying that. What he's saying is that he is trusting God in everything. He's not trusting people, all right? Which is an important principle, isn't it? If you trust people for all your needs, you're going to be disappointed, all right? Yeah, kids, I'll tell you real quick. I thought my parents would give me that. Yeah, and we know that we didn't really want to give them that, all right? I mean, parents know best. And sometimes, you know, we can have expectations about things that are disappointing. But Paul says, that's not where I'm living. Paul's saying, you know, I mean, if we had looked at Paul's situation from a human perspective, we could clearly say, Paul, you need a lot of things. You're in prison. You need to be released. Paul, you probably don't have enough food. You need more food, okay? Paul, your clothes are wearing out. You probably need some. I mean, Paul certainly looked like he had a lot of needs. But he says to them, I don't. How could he say that? Because his perspective was that he was trusting God in any situation. And that whatever the Lord had determined was the right way, he was accepting from God. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes we say, oh, okay, God, you need to do this different. You realize how crazy that thought is? God, you need to do it my way. Well, aren't we glad he doesn't do it our way? I mean, that would be terrible. Yeah, but we do kind of go there sometimes. But Paul says he's learned something here. He's learned something through this process, and he wants the Philippian believers to know what he's learned. He wants them to know he's thankful for what they've done, and we'll see that come around again. But right here, he takes a moment, and he wants everybody to know that walking with God can be a way of contentment, even when things don't go the way humanly we would like them to go. Wow. I don't know about you, when I read this, and I preach it, and I study it, it's quite convicting. I'm an American. I believe contentment is having the stuff I want to have. Yeah, and I got a lot of stuff. Somebody was asking me today about my vehicles. All right, okay, convicted, all right. They're all older, okay, all right. We got all kind of excuses, I know, but no. But you know, really, it is a good stopping point for us. What am I really content in? Am I content in my circumstances? Am I content in my possessions? Or am I really content in the Lord? And Paul says he's learned to be content. Matter of fact, he says he's learned it not only when he's poor, not only when he didn't have much, but he also says he's learned it when he's had plenty. Isn't that interesting? I've always found that fascinating. Sometimes I think it's maybe even more difficult for people to be content when they have more. John Rockefeller. Anybody remember John Rockefeller? He's been long gone, but had a lot of money. All right. And somebody asked John Rockefeller, how much money is enough? He said, a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, just satisfying our desires, so to speak, which are never satisfied, by the way, okay, just trying to satisfy them does not bring us to a place where, oh, man, well, now I got it. It seems to lead us to more and more desires. Yeah. So that's not where real contentment is found. Paul said he had to learn to be content when he had plenty. Yeah. As much as he had to learn it when he didn't. You see, he has learned. And I believe Paul probably would have said at that point, I'm still learning this, all right? I don't think that's fully learned, right, until we get to be with the Lord. But it's something that this is later in his life. This is not too long before he went to be with the Lord, really, as far as his lifespan. And he'd learned a lot by this time. And he's sharing that with the Philippian believers. We're learning. And as it is for Paul, it is for us as those who belong to Christ. We learn contentment by living through the ups and the downs of life, and by trusting Christ in it all. Okay? Might not be fun, but it can be joyful. Wow, how can that be, Pastor? Well, I believe it's true. I believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength in the midst of whatever our trials might be. That God does give us his joy, his peace, his patience, his goodness, all those fruit of the Spirit, as we trust in him and we learn those things, we learn that contentment, we learn the depth of those wonderful gifts from the Lord by living life. If that weren't true, God would have probably just taken you to heaven when you got saved, right? But he's got a lot more to do in us. He wants to work in us and use us. He's at work. And a big part of that is this, what Paul is talking about, of learning contentment. So in this letter, Paul wants to be clear that he is thankful and blessed by their gift, but his trust is in God. His dependence is not on the provision of others, but on God, who does provide for him through people. All right? Various ways. Yeah. I mentioned our kids out in Illinois last week, and I'll just mention it again. It's on my mind because right after church, we're leaving to go out there for a week. I'll be here next Sunday, but we're going to be out there all week. Okay. And when we first arranged the trip, it wasn't with the knowledge of my son-in-law being out of a job. All right. So it's kind of a neat time to be going, if you know what I mean. Kids are off from school. And what I want to say to him is, hey, don't feel guilty. You're off from work. Let's have a good time this week, okay? That's what I'm saying. All right. But I know he's very determined to try to find a job. But as I mentioned last week, and I think it really fits with what we're talking about here, that God does provide through people, but it's him that does it. And I'm seeing that in our kids. I'm seeing them discover that in greater ways. Would he rather continue to be working right now and have a regular income? You bet. Would we like that as a father-in-law? Absolutely. That's my daughter and my grandkids out there. Come on now, right? All right. But what's more important, right? More important that they learn to be content in the Lord, no matter what happens. I really do believe that, even though I wrestle with it just like you do. But God's word says that's where it's at. Paul says he's learned that. He wants us all to know about it. Now, he wants to keep clear, of course, that he's trusting the Lord, as he shares with the Philippians, but he also really does want them to know how much he is thankful for them and blessed by them. Don't get mixed up here that when Paul says, hey, I don't have any needs, God's taking care of me, that means I don't appreciate what you've done. Because he's very clear that he does. And he makes that very clear in the next verses. Certainly there's a tension here. It's a balance to give God praise, but also to be sincerely grateful to others. You can imagine the emotions of the Philippian church in hearing Paul tell them that they were the only ones who had supported him when he first shared the gospel with them. Wow, that's quite a statement. Paul's saying, you're my people. God used you to get me on in doing the ministry he called me to do. I want to tell you something. The Lord allowed me to experience something that I had encouraged other people they could trust God for. Back in 2000, we agreed to go with a mission organization and lead it, and it meant that we needed to raise all of our support. And I had told many people who God was calling to missions, the Lord will be with you, he'll take care of you, he'll supply, and then it was my turn. And it was, I got to tell you, it was scary. From a human perspective, it was very scary. But we really believed in our heart that the Lord was in this. I was just telling somebody this week, when I finished up there and came to serve with you, which, by the way, I was reading my devotions this morning, and I usually write something in there, okay? And it was actually 5 years ago, these next couple of days, when I stopped working with China Outreach Ministries and worked here right in the middle of COVID, all right? And in the passages of Scripture, the passage that was there was, "My God will supply all of your needs." We're going to be on that verse next week, okay? All right. And I did some calculations at the end of almost 20 years of support raising. And when I looked at the numbers of how much the Lord had brought in to support us so that we could do the ministry, we could take care of our family needs, we could send our kids to college, I mean, stuff we were scared of how it was going to work, I was amazed at how much money was there. If you'd have told me 20 years before I had to raise that much, I'd say, "You are, I'm in no way." I was just trying to get by month at that point. But I want to say, in addition to knowing God had provided that, I also had, Betty and I also had a very deep appreciation and gratitude for those who stepped out in faith with us to give. And we really had that perspective. I got to tell you, sometimes it seems like there's a conflict of interest, you know, and, you know, missionary needs help, you know, and, "Oh, we thank you for that." And sure, they're supposed to do that. I can tell you, in our hearts, man, it was very deep. And we did praise God. And we knew we had a connection that was deeper, right, than just, "Hello, nice to see you. Glad you're our friend." And we still, I mean, we're not collecting support from folks, but even the couple we met with the other night had been a part of our team. And those are rich relationships. And we'll celebrate in heaven someday, all of it. But you know, there's just something special about that connection. And Paul was saying, "You people are very special to me. You did something nobody else had done. You supported me right away. You were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia." And he said, "Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once." They didn't just give him some money when he was with them to keep on with the ministry in Macedonia around them, but he kept giving even after he went on to another place. They were supporting this ministry. And Paul was very, very grateful. And both he and the Philippians were blessed and gave praise to God. As we walk with Christ, when we share love, we too experience love. This is a source of great joy in the Lord. The spirit of giving continued, for we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, actually, about the giving of the churches in Macedonia, which included the Philippian church. Okay, that was in that region. And Paul writes about the Macedonian church in 1 Corinthians 8. And he says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles. And they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." Wow, what a testimony about these people. Their giving blessed many and was also an encouragement to others to do the same. God is praised in it all. You see, open hearts lead to open hands. And open hands lead to great blessings. The reward is knowing the deep love of brothers and sisters in Christ. knowing the evidence of God's care coming our way through others, the joy of being used by God to bless others, and the contentment of God being close to us no matter what our circumstances. Dear brothers and sisters at Community, your generosity is a great blessing. Some of you give not out of prosperity, but even in the midst of your own struggles. And some give out of a blessing that you have to do so. And all of the giving brings praise to God as others are blessed. It may be giving to a missionary like Paul. It may be giving to a brother or sister in the church. It may be giving generally to the church, which supports all that we do corporately. We are blessed today by the many who gave in the past. We just, a couple years ago, celebrated 100 years. There's been a lot of people that have been giving to the Lord, to others in His name, been faithful. And the Lord has blessed that. And we're blessed today by it, right? Yeah, we're blessed today. We have this place to worship and minister. The opportunity for us and others, young and old, to know Christ and grow in Him is related to the love of those who gave so that ministry continues to take place. And through our giving today, ministry with children, with youth, and adults is taking place. Missionaries are being supported, and people all over the world are being impacted by the gospel. And now, as we move into a period of need for greater giving, it may look like brick and mortar, but it is all about using a facility to see more children be taught and discipled, more adults involved in studies, and then through them, more and more touched by God's love. In it all, the Lord is praised and glorified. On Wednesday evening, I signed a contract on behalf of the church with Centurion Construction, largest contract I've ever signed, $1.8 million. You say, that's nice, Pastor. I hope you can pay that. It's sort of overwhelming, but it's also sort of cool and fun and amazing. We're at a place right now where we have opportunities for the future. You see, this begins the process of renovating our current educational rooms for more adult teaching rooms and a designated children's ministry area in the current multi-purpose room area, which will be safer and give more room for more classes. We will upgrade our welcome area and our coffee service area and create a family bathroom that will be ADA accessible. We will be building a new 6,900 square foot facility attached to our current structure that will include a new youth ministry area, a multi-purpose area, a kitchen, and bathrooms. This is something, by the way, that has been thought of many times before my time being here, but it never was the right time, apparently. But I believe it is. Not because I'm here, but because as we've assessed what's going on, as we've seen what God has been doing, as we are in a place where we can move forward with this, and you all agreed to it when we did a survey about a year ago, just in case you forgot, all right? You might say, well, I wasn't here then. Well, we're still counting on you too, all right? Yeah. Yeah. It's an opportunity. Because God has blessed us, and we can continue to bless others. That we might rest in His love, we might show His love, we might know the joy of His love, but others especially will too. Amen. And we, as we are loved and as we share love, I really believe that's a key factor for us knowing the joy of the Lord. Now, Paul ends this section by saying, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Again, he wants to make it clear that even though he has greatly appreciated their giving, he is not coming with any kind of a demand or expectation. He says, rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Paul has shared his appreciation for their past giving, not to manipulate them for his own advantage, but rather to encourage them with the impact of their giving so that they themselves will be blessed and to see that there is reward from God as we are faithful to show love through giving. As we enter into a time, it's going to be over a few weeks here. We're going to have our meeting April 27th. We'll reveal some more things about the giving and the process and all those things, and even beyond that. But I want you to know that the heart of myself and our leaders as we go into this project is not one in which we're saying, we just want to receive a gift from you. We want to manipulate you. We want to be able to feel really good and special and big time here at Community, and we're going to get you to pay for it. No, that's not what we're about, all right? We want to do what we believe God's leading us to do, all right? And we want you, just like Paul says, to know the reward that comes as we respond to God together. I mean, it'll be exciting to see the building go up. I mean, I know that. You'll all be coming here on Sunday, and you'll want to run out there, and you want to see how it's working, and you want to see I get that. That's fun. But really, it's all about being faithful to the Great Commission, that we might do a better job, that we might be able to do more for the Lord and seeing children and youth and adults grow in the Lord and become stronger disciples and make a difference for Him wherever He calls them. And hey, there is a great reward. It's more than I think Paul could address in words. If you've stepped out in, and I know I'm talking about money, but it's a lot of ways. If you've stepped out in giving of your time and stepped out in giving, if you've given up, if you sacrificially have done something for others beyond yourself, beyond your own budget, beyond your own determination, beyond your own goals, so to speak, and you know that the Lord is leading you, I can guarantee you, because of the Word of God and from my personal experience, that you are and will be rewarded. It might be, I mean, there are scriptures that say this, it might be that you see more money coming in. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen people step out and say, well, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this, and then the Lord supplies so you can do more. I mean, we'll be talking about that next week, in next week's passage, okay? But it might not be that. It might just be a sense of contentment. Yeah, I've stepped out here, and I've seen how God is taking care of me, and it might not be exactly like I thought, but I'm trusting Him, and the best thing is I know Him more. The best thing is I know He's with me. The best thing is I know His strength. The best thing is I know the depth of His love more and more. What a great reward that is. Much more precious than dollars and cents. Yeah. But we have a promise here. We have a desire, right? I don't want you to feel, as we talk about supporting this project, that anybody is here to manipulate you. Okay? Do you believe me? I hope so, because that's important to me. I want you to do what the Lord calls you to do. I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, I got some ideas. I got a piece of paper in my office where I've kind of said, well, we could do it this way. Somebody gives this much money. Somebody gives that much money. I mean, that's okay, I think, thinking it through, okay? But I don't know, all right? I mentioned to you last week, we're looking for some folks to maybe lend some money, okay? And maybe you're thinking about that. Let me know if you are. We're kind of hoping that maybe we can get about $600,000 that way, all right? We have about $300,000 in our liquidity that will not affect our operations that we can put in the project. So we'll probably borrow from a lending agency about $1 million. So, and then we got to put all that together and see how much that comes up per month. We're going to try to stretch it accordingly to amortize it appropriately so that we're not overwhelmed. But yet, we hope to pay it early. I mean, all those things are in the mix. And we're going to be talking with the financial folks here. And yeah, Okay, keep praying about these things, right? But ultimately, remember what it's about, right? Remember, it's about loving others for the sake of the Lord, that they might know him and grow in him, right? And that we ourselves are being obedient and knowing him more, the wonderful rewards that he brings. May we grow in this grace, having open hands that are led by open hearts, increasing the joy of being loved for others and ourselves. For joyfully showing love leads to more joy for all. Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for this, your word. And as we read it, as we study it, as we think about it, we know there are areas in our life that this applies to. I believe that you obviously, Lord, by your Spirit, have written your word. And also by your Spirit, you're here to apply your word to our hearts and lives. So I pray, Lord, for open hearts here today. Open hearts to hear your word, but also to do it. Open hearts to love others as you have loved us. Open hearts, Lord, to allow you to do your work in us. But also open hands as a result. To be your people that show your love. And through others receiving love, they will know you and your joy. And we will know it in deeper ways as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I was reading this week's scripture passage and reading about all the things that Paul went through in his time of ministry, in his time of imprisonment, and his seeking the Lord for strength and relying on the Lord for strength, it reminded me of how many places we read in the Word about how we can look to God for strength and how he promises to provide that for us. Psalm 18, 32 and 33, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Psalm 18, 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. 2 Samuel 22, 33, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Proverbs 18, 10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Psalm 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Psalm 59, 16, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this last song. It's an older song, and some of you will know it, and for some of you, it will be new. So if it's new to you, I invite you to just listen the first time through, and then you can join us. This song sings about how our strength comes from the Lord. He is the source of our strength. He is the strength of our life. And then it closes with talking about those open hands, and ultimately those open hands that Pastor Glenn talked about, those are hands of praise to him. So let's sing this together.
Lord, I will live. Coming from you, your
one more time. Lord, I will lift.
Lord, I will lift my eyes to the hills, knowing my help is coming from you.
You know what that means, right? May it be so. May it be so. May it be so in our hearts. May it be so as we walk from here every day, not just when we're sitting in this place, right? May it be so. May we know the love of the Lord. May we trust Him more and more. May we be content in whatever our situation. And may others come to know His love because we share His love with them in real ways, right? Amen? Hey, appreciate you all. Hope you have a great week. God bless you.